We're reading from Genesis chapter 39, beginning with verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save or except the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not or knoweth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Amen. We end our reading there with verse 12. And we trust today that the Lord will give us grace, that the Spirit of God will communicate His truth to us in a way that will be very helpful to us, not only in the time that we have remaining in this world, but that the Lord's blessing would be upon us, even from this scripture, to all eternity, for Jesus' sake. All right, well, we're going to consider today where we left off 2 weeks ago, and that is, we had the first six verses last time, 2 weeks ago, and I was thinking, well, we should be able to get all the way through this today, but the Lord has slowed me down. And we are going to look, God helping us, at verses 7 through 12. Joseph, the young son of Jacob, had won a place in the heart of Potiphar, his master. And why was that? It was because the Lord was with him. He recognized the fact that there was something supernatural about this young man. He was not the ordinary slave. The blessing of the Almighty was upon him. And the days were not far ahead when this young man would be exalted much higher than his master Potiphar. But there were first some hard trials for young Joseph to bear. Just because a person bears trials and goes through times of suffering is no sign that God is not blessing him. In fact, the blessing of God is oftentimes seen and brought to the understanding through suffering, through trials, through difficulties. And the Lord uses the hard experiences that his people have to form godly character in his people. So don't be surprised by suffering, whether it be physical, whether it be mental things that bother you, harass you, or whatever. Well, our scripture reading today sets forth the temptation of Joseph. Joseph had gained the respect of his master, and he was very glad about that. But Joseph was greatly disturbed when his master's wife showed him the wrong kind of respect. Now, this morning, as we consider Joseph's temptation, I want to notice with you two things. Number one, that Joseph's temptation reminds us here very much of the temptation of the first and second Adam. And then secondly, we will look at the fierce temptation itself. So first of all, this passage brings to mind the experience of the first and second Adam. It is no accident that the temptation of Joseph follows right upon the heels of his older brother Judah's temptation at the 38th chapter toward the end where you read of it there. Now, the Lord certainly designed that these would be set in the Word in very close position. Now, Judah was in the same family as Joseph. Quite obvious. Genesis chapter 49 tells us in verses 8 to 10, it celebrates really the dominion, the royalty of Judah. Judah is called a lion's whelp, and he goes on to be a lion. And Adam, like Judah, had dominion given to him by God. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, verses 26 and 28 of Genesis chapter 1, it's very clear that God gave dominion to Adam. And we read that dominion was for Judah. Judah enjoyed great wealth, as is evident by this previous chapter, the shearing of the sheep, his bracelets that were valuable, his signet, and all these things show how this man was well-to-do. Now, Adam had all the wealth of God's creation at his disposal. Judah didn't quite have that much. But Adam had all of God's wealth at his disposal before his temptation. Judah was very well set in life. Had his own life, his own family, his own herds, and all these things. Judah enjoyed freedom to go about as he pleased. Adam had that liberty at first to just go and do as his goodwill drove him and persuaded him. So Judah enjoyed that freedom to go about as he pleased. And Adam had the full freedom of his will before the fall. Judah had the advantage of knowledge even beyond his little brother, Joseph. He had had years of experience gaining an understanding of life in the world before his brother even came along. Judah had all those advantages. But you think of Adam's advantages regarding knowledge. Adam had a complete, unfallen, unhindered intellect. And yet you think of those two men. Adam and Judah willfully followed their own desires and their own lusts. But now we have the contrast to Judah in his brother Joseph. Joseph, like Christ, refused to be defiled by temptation. Joseph was a slave without full freedom of movement. He couldn't go just anywhere he wanted like his brother could. Like Christ, Joseph was obligated to be in the area, in the arena of temptation. He was in the place of temptation. Jesus Christ, God the Son, came into this world and he dwelt in a world full of sin and temptation, And the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness specifically to be tempted of the devil. Now, Joseph had his duty. His duty required him to be there in the very arena of temptation. So we see Christ so clearly in Joseph's temptation. You see it so clearly. So let's think about Christ's temptation. Adam, you know, was well fed. He had access to a full variety of tasty fruits throughout the Garden of Eden. But what about Christ? Christ was out there in that barren wilderness, surrounded by stones. Well, Satan offered Christ that which would satisfy his hunger, because Jesus Christ was really hungry. He'd been fasting for 40 days. And you know, Mrs. Potiphar offered Joseph something that would be physically pleasing. Now, where Adam, in a perfectly unfallen nature, failed, Christ, in that same perfect unfallen human nature like Adam's, was fully victorious over every temptation that was put to him. Though he was weak and hungry out there in the wilderness, he was still in submission to the law. Remember, he was made under the law. He was in full submission to his Father's will. Thus, the second Adam overcame every wile of Satan. Now, that is most wonderful. We're going to continue that a little as we examine more closely Joseph's fierce temptation, what he faced. Like Christ, Joseph was tempted, did you notice, in three stages. Mrs. Potiphar tempted Joseph in three very distinct stages. First of all, I want you to think about how Christ was tempted in those three stages. Remember, the devil offered Christ the pleasure of food to satisfy his hunger. Then he offered Christ prestige by a miraculous leap from the temple. The devil took him up there and just jump down and show him what you can do. He offered him prestige by a miraculous leap from the high pinnacle of the temple. Then he offered Christ power over all the kingdoms of the world. But you know, Satan was a liar in all three of these. He acted like he wanted to help Christ, but he had neither the desire nor the power to do so. Now, like Satan, Mrs. Potiphar harassed Joseph in three stages of temptation. Notice verse 7. Verse 7 of chapter 39. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." First, she commanded him to sin. She spoke to him as his master's wife. After all, Joseph was a slave, her servant in the house, as well as her husband's. And what was she doing in that evil temptation? She sought to overcome his good conscience of right and wrong by an evil command. All right, now you think about that. Because there will be people in this world that will endeavor to overcome your good conscience of right and wrong by commanding you to do wrong. Secondly, being unable to get Joseph to sin, she sought each day to use some subtle device to persuade him. Notice verse 10. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her. She sought to persuade him, harassing him day after day with her wiles and her subtleties. Now, some people are able to resist sin's first attacks. but later give in to persistent temptations. You remember Samson? For some time, he was holding Delilah at bay and he would not give the secret of his strength. But at last, by the subtleties of that woman, he gave in. Well, Joseph was not enraptured by this woman's appearance. He was not flattered by her attention. He was not allured by her enticements. Day after day, she tried. But then, having failed in both of these first stages, she made her final violent attack by physically taking hold of Joseph to force him in verse 12. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. This evil woman had no respect for herself. She had no respect for her husband. She had no respect for Joseph. And she had no respect for God. So Joseph did the right thing. And he fled from her evil presence. And even from that place of her violent temptation. Now, let's ask the question. How did Joseph overcome these awful temptations? Now, here's the key. This is a key for you and me. How we can overcome temptation. Joseph overcame temptation exactly the same way that Christ did. In every temptation that the devil presented to Jesus, our Lord refuted and refused them with Scripture. Luke chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Devil, I'm not just dependent on something to eat for this body. If I eat something, it's not going to do me any good. Unless the sovereign God wills for food to nourish me. You ever think about that? It's so pitiful to hear about these little children that can't even eat a bite of food. I mean, it's because of their sickness. We've been praying for that little boy, Noah. And he can't eat food. And he's just wasting away. And you know, our food would not do us one bit of good when we ingest our food if Almighty God did not will. Didn't, by His Word, direct in His providence that our bodies would be nourished. Well, Jesus understood that so well. The second temptation in Luke 4:8, he said, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And then the third temptation, Luke 4:12, he said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And I say Joseph used the same thing. Psalm 105, verse 19, tells us that he did. It says of Joseph that the word of the Lord tried Joseph. The word of the Lord tried him. Now, the word of God was with him in his trial. No doubt Joseph remembered God's word communicated to him, his will, the prophecies and the promises about his coming exaltation. And thus, he did not stoop to such a lewd and base act. Thus, he overcame. It was by his deep and constant holiness and his living fellowship with the living God that enabled Joseph to overcome. He cried out in verse 9, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How? It's unreasonable." Joseph was living consciously under the continual eye and the observation of the Lord who was blessing him. He said, "God's blessing is on me. How can I do this in the presence of one who has blessed me so immensely?" There's nothing like the sense of God's omniscience and His omnipresence to thwart those motions and those risings of sin in our hearts. You remember, it's not the issue of who sees me on earth, but who sees me always. It is the Lord. Joseph had respect for Potiphar. After all, Potiphar had honored him. He had trusted him with his household. So Joseph could not and he would not betray that trust. Now, that's all. There's some lessons for us here. Young men ought to live pure lives. And it's very obvious from Joseph, a young man, that young men can live pure lives. Now, it's good for young men to face the temptations of this world, energized and empowered by the grace of God. The scripture says in Lamentations 3:27, it is good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. Yeah, and I know, I want to tell you something. It is so good for us to get old. We were thinking about not wanting to get too old, but it's good as we get older, you know, the temptations change a little. We're presented with the three awful things. There were three temptations for Christ. There was the appeal to Eve in the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life, as John talks about in the first epistle there in chapter 2, that the lust of the flesh is especially that which the younger people have to wrestle with. That is a primary temptation and oppression that the devil would use. And then the second stage, the lust of the eyes. Let me grab all I can get with both hands and with my toes. Well, that's the stage of accumulate. I gotta have this. That's what I asked one day in Brother Yarbrough's class. What about my bass boat? You know. So we gotta have all these things. Okay. And then we get older and our hair either turns white or turns loose. Then the pride of life. Don't you wish you could do it like I did? I'm here. I'm set now. We got it made. We've done it all right. That the pride of life comes especially to older people. But here we're thinking about bearing the yoke in the youth. In every stage of life, we have to face our own strong temptations. Joseph bore the yoke in his youth. He bore three yokes. He was bearing three yokes right here in this chapter. He was bearing the yoke of slavery. He was bearing the yoke of temptation. And he was bearing the yoke of suspicion and slander, even though he did right. But God was using it. Temptations abound. And temptations abound especially for the young. In our society, the temptation for men and for women and for young people, especially for young men and boys in magazines and movies and TV and the internet. Now think about this. If you give in to temptations in these things, young men and all of us, if you give in to these temptations, you will find yourself being enslaved. You will become a slave to your own lust. Do you really want to be that kind of slave? Now, I'll tell you something, break my heart. One of my cousins grew up with her in school, didn't live too far apart. A beautiful young lady. And she gave herself over in her youth to the lust of the flesh, in the way of Potiphar's wife described here.
And it was so horrifying to me, after decades had passed, to see my cousin and not even recognize her. Because before she was 40 years old, she looked like a 60 or 70 year old woman. It's not worth it to give yourself a slave to your lusts. Well, how can you overcome these strong temptations? Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. Them that turn aside from what? They turn aside from God's law. I'm not going to... Oh God, give me grace not to turn aside from your law. Because your law is my protector. Your law is my keeper. Give me grace not to be like those that turn aside. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Psalm 101:3. It's not going to cleave to me like a parasite and eat out the very vitality of my life. It's not going to cleave to me as some loathsome disease. It shall not cleave to me, the psalmist said. 2 Timothy 2:22. This is what Joseph did. Flee also youthful lust. That's only half of it. You can flee, but you can't flee into a vacuum. You've got to fill that vacuum in your life with something. And Paul tells Timothy what to fill it with. 2 Timothy 2:22. But follow. You flee youthful lusts and you follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You can have a pure heart in a defiled and ungodly world. But you know, we have to cry unto God for overcoming grace in the midst of it. You who have failed and have given in to your lusts, I urge you to turn from your sin to the Lord today. Confess to Him your sin. Forsake Him. Forsake that sin and seek God in His Word, in prayer, in memorizing Scripture, and in desiring to be filled to the uttermost with His Spirit. Remember, it is those who endure to the end who shall be saved. Now, if you go to Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and you read those wonderful promises about God's blessing in eternity, those promises are made to those who overcome by faith. Not to those who live their lives overcome by lust. Remember God's command, lust not after the beauty of the strange woman. Proverbs 6:25. How dare we do such great wickedness and sin against God, who has power both to kill our body and our soul? In the light of the gospel, how dare we do such wickedness? Sin is no little thing. Sin is no light matter. The only way for sin to be forgiven costs God, the Son, the most excruciating agonies. Christ endured the awful horrors of the wrath of God as the man of sorrows in order to forgive our sins. The very lifeblood of the only perfectly pure and sinless man was wrung out of his heart and out of his body in order to wash away our sins. The very soul of our Savior was so violently separated from His perfectly pure body in order to be made the offering for our sins. Let us therefore trust in Christ. Let us love Him with all our hearts for His great salvation. And let us do as Joseph did in refusing to give in to sin and to temptation. Let us pray. Oh God, our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast made a way of escape in times of temptation. We thank Thee for the convicting power of Thy Spirit. We thank Thee for the power of Thy Word when it's in our hearts to turn us back into the path when we would go into bypath meta naturally. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt write Thy truth upon our hearts and give us great victory over all evil. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.